As we read earlier, we look in the book of Ezekiel tonight, and a simple thought, but something in my own life, especially recently, something that has been really changing for me. It's been something that's caused me to have to step back and re-examine myself, re-examine kind of my life, and ask myself, why do I do what I do? Why do I now work in a church? Why does my wife and I went to a Bible college and we've gone to other countries and now we're back and we're living in Georgia and we're working, and why? And we come to the book of Ezekiel, and I'm sure from pastor's teaching, from what I've learned, he's taught you about it, and you know the setting and you know the situation that the children of Israel are in. They had been God's chosen people, and yet they had really rejected God. They rejected His word. They rejected His commandments. And time after time after time, God bestowed mercy, He bestowed grace, and He forgave them, and He gave them chance after chance. But eventually a time came where God, in His mercy, said enough, and His judgment said, I will judge you for the wrong that you've done and the sin that you've done. And they were delivered, they were taken captive. Nebuchadnezzar came and besieged the southern kingdom of Judah, and he took them captive, and Ezekiel was in the second besiegement, and the second kind of taking away of some of the children of Israel. And while he's ministering, he begins to give prophecies and visions, and he begins to speak to God's chosen people, and he begins to tell them just a number of different things. He deals some as well with pagan people that are around in his day and age, but he's speaking to his people, and he's wanting them to understand something that is very important for them. It's something that would change their lives if they truly grasp it, something that they understood. And he begins, and he comes to chapter 36, and he lays out the sin that they've done. And he gives just a glimpse of some of the sins that they've been involved in. And if you go back in chapter 22, you see a detailed list, really, of just what God's people had been involved in. And it really, you read it, and it almost causes you to stagger and think, how could anyone who knows God and claim to be God's people be involved in that type of sin and that type of immorality? And yet we see God's chosen people were so far from God. They were so involved in such vileness and wickedness that they really had forgotten who God was. They were no longer worshiping God. They were worshiping their own images of who they believed God was. But Ezekiel begins to speak to them, and I want us to look in verse 20. He says something that's, to me, very, very convicting. He comes in verse 20 and he says, and when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. And Ezekiel begins to write, and he says to God's people, he says, when you were taken captive, when you went into a country that was not your own, when you went and you dwelt amongst people that were not your own, you went as children of the one true God. And yet the life that you lived and the actions that you had, they did not proclaim the glory of God. They profaned His holy name. And I want you to understand that every single one of us here tonight, we do one of two things in our life. We profane the name of God or we proclaim the name of God. There is no substitute. There is no in-between. And we live, and the Jewish people, they lived in such a way that they gave no thought for God and for His holy name because they didn't care about Him. Because they truly lived and believed that life was all about them. They believed that everything that God had given them was for their sakes. Because if you read and you study throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, you'll see that while they were God's chosen people, they believed that life was all about them. Read how they treated other people. They looked at themselves at such a high level, and yet they viewed everybody else at such a low level. They called them dogs, they looked down upon them, and they began to think that they were something that they were not. And they lived in a way that reflected the God that they claimed they worshipped. If you understand the culture, historical background of really every people group in the ancient times, the way they lived, the way they fought, always represented their God. If a people won a battle, it was because of their God. Their God was greater than another country's God. And therefore, He gave them the victory. And it was well known, and I know we live in a very connected world today, and we think back then they didn't have internet, they didn't have phones, they didn't have a postal system like what we have, but people knew about each other. You can read throughout the Old Testament and see where other peoples knew about Jehovah because of the children of Israel. because of the way that they lived and the things that were done in their lives and through them by God. And then if you go back to 1 Samuel and you see when they came out to battle the Philistines and they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines reacted with, God is now with them. This is the God that delivered them from the Egyptians. See, people had heard and had known about the Jewish people's God. In whatever way that they lived and whatever things that they did, it therefore reflected their God. It reflected how great He was, how mighty He was, or how weak He was in the eyes of the world. And when the Jews became so filled with sin, they become so filled with self that God said enough is enough and He was willing to let His glory be taken away because of the actions of His people. Because they had to be punished. They had to be judged. And the Bible says that when they were taken into captivity, it did one thing. It profaned His holy name. And I want us to genuinely and honestly ask ourselves right now, what is our life doing for the name of Jesus Christ? Honestly. How often do we go about our day and not once give thought to Jesus Christ? While we're at work, while we're at school, while we're in our own home. Honestly, have we ever stopped just for a moment and asked ourselves, is the way we're living, is the way we're talking, is the way we're acting, is it declaring the glory of God to a lost people or is it robbing His glory? Because it'll do one of the two. There is no in between. And it is any wonder why God has not destroyed this nation. Because if you examine your own life and I examine mine, we understand that we are wicked, vile sinners, just as these people were. And it is only by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But yet He desires for us to not profane His holy name, but to proclaim it. And therefore, He forgives us. But it's not for our sakes. You see, God had chosen a people to use for one purpose, and David understood it, and Solomon understood it. And they both cried out once as one was prepared to fight this giant of the Philistines, and one as he prepared a temple to worship the one true God, and they both proclaimed that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, God chose him a people, not because that they were anything special, not because that he did everything in his existence for them. No, he chose him a people so that he could use these people to reflect his glory. And yet, time after time after time, they did not reflect his glory, they robbed it. And we read the Old Testament, I read the Old Testament, I think, man, the Jews, they just couldn't get it. They couldn't grasp it. It was just time after time after time. They made mistake after mistake after mistake. And yet, if I step back and I examine my own life, how often do I live for myself? How often do I profane the name of the Lord with the way that I act, with the way that I behave in my marriage as a husband, with the way that I act at work, with the way that I interact when I'm out at a restaurant or going in the grocery store? Honestly, I lose my temper so quick. I speak things that I should not speak. I act in a way that I should not act at school. And everything that we do, if we claim we're Christians, then why don't we live like it? I mean, honestly, genuinely live like a Christian. Read the New Testament, and the Christianity that I see in there is radically different than what I see in the country that we have today. Honestly. For example, this church this morning was filled, and yet it's about half full tonight. And it's not just this church. I'm not calling out this church. In every church that I've been in the past 5 or 6 years and traveling around the country, it's without fail. People come when they feel like it. They come and they live the Christian life to the ideas that they believe it should be lived. All the while not realizing that they are reflecting the God that they claim to be a follower of. And the way that they live and the way that we live, far more often than not, it robs God of His glory that He rightfully deserves. And the children of Israel were caught in a situation where they were profaning the name of the God. But I'm thankful for verse 21. It's not the way I would have written it, but I'm thankful that it's the way that God wrote it. In verse 21, he says, "But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And the children of Israel, as I said earlier, they began to think that they were something that they were not. They honestly believed that life revolved around them. They believed that God chose them because they were special and that they were better than everyone else. And just like the ancient times where the world believed that everything revolved around the earth, and of course we learned that that was a completely false statement, the Jewish people believed that God and His existence and His creation and His Word and everything that they saw revolved around them. And honestly, if you look at Christianity today, it's what we've done. Even in the sense of what we give the gospel. How many times have we heard someone say, including I know I've done it, especially when we're talking to little children, Jesus died so that you can go to heaven. Ask any child whether they want to go to heaven or hell, and they're going to choose every time heaven. It's like asking whether they want candy or a cup of dirt. But honestly, we've began to proclaim the gospel as it's all for their sakes. Everything that Jesus did was for you. And therefore, we make everything about you and about me. And while Jesus did die for me, and I'm truly grateful for that, and I can never repay Him for that, the Bible says that in 1 John that, little children, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And the Bible says as Jesus prepared to come to Calvary, and in John chapter 12 it says, as He was getting ready to go upon something so horrible, He said, Father, glorify Your name. Everything that was about to be done, He said, Father, I want it to be for one purpose. I want it to be for Your glory and Your glory alone. And God, as He spoke to His people here, He said, I want you to understand that I will forgive you. I will have pity on you, but I want you to understand it's not because of you. Because you're not what it's all about. It's all about me. I am God. I am the one who saved you. I am the one who redeemed you. And I'm going to forgive you right now, yes, because I love you. Yes, because I care you. But I'm going to do it for my name's sake. So that when you understand the reason I'm forgiving you is so that you now live for my name's sake. If that's the reason I'm forgiving you, then that should be the reason that you live. And He says, everything that I'm doing for you right now, all of the wickedness that you've done, all the vileness that you've done, I will forgive you for my name's sake. And I want us to understand today, this evening, that the reason we were saved was not for our goodness, not for our happiness, although we get to enjoy that, but it was for the glory of God. The psalm says that the heavens declare His glory. All of creation, all of that God has created, it declares His glory. Yet the one part of creation, the one part that actually knows Him, is the only part that robs Him of glory. It's the only part that doesn't do what it was created to do. And day after day after day, we live however we want to live, doing whatever we want to do, giving no thought whatsoever to the fact that we are reflecting the God who we claim to be followers of. And honestly, if we're going to continue to live in this life of self-centeredness and pride and sin, we'd be better off not even claiming we're Christians. Because we'd do less to profane the name of God if we just were like the world. Because the world is always full of sin. And the world is always going to be against God. But when we claim to be God's children and yet we live such vile and wicked and self-centered lives, we're pointing everybody else around us that life's all about us. When in reality, it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. And Jesus and God spoke to His people here and He said, I will forgive you. I will have pity on you, but I want you to understand it's not for you. I'll do it, but it's for my name's sake. Because I'm praying and I'm hoping that you will then understand that you were created and you were saved for a purpose. And it was to live for the glory of God. That's it. When we go to heaven, what does the book of Revelation say that all creatures in heaven are doing in chapter 5? It says they are crying out, worthy is the Lamb that is to receive honor and riches and wisdom and glory. Read throughout the epistles. Paul wrote it. Peter wrote it. Jude wrote it. Read throughout almost all of them, and either at the beginning or at the end of almost every epistle in the New Testament, the glory of God is what they write. And we read over it so quickly. I read over it like just like it's a footnote or it's like a header or a footer, and I just skip right over it to get to all of the core teaching. But yet in almost every single one of them, Paul tries to remind, and Peter tries to remind, that it's for God's glory. He deserves it. Everything is about Him. And we come here in this passage and we see that I'm so thankful that God had pity on His people, the Jews, and He has pity on us today. But He does it for His name's sake. And God's forgiveness of our sins is not for us to go to heaven, although we get to enjoy that and we get to receive that. No, God's forgiveness of our sins is because God created everything for His glory, and He had a people who were vile, wicked rebels who have defiled His name, and His Son came to earth, and He bought us out of the markets of slave and placed us under the freedom of grace, so as Romans says, so that we could therefore be servants of righteousness to our Master, to Jesus Christ. And He redeemed the one part of creation that does not worship Him and does not declare His glory, so that we would declare His holy name amongst the entire earth. And He will forgive us, and He wants to forgive us, but it's not all about us. And He continues on in the chapter, and He says, in verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this." So we see, first of all, that God was willing to forgive His people of their sins for His name's sake. And then He continues on, He says, not only will I forgive you, but now I will bless you. I'll give you a new heart, I'll give you a new spirit, I'll give you no more famine, I'll give you food, I'll give you land. If you continue on in the chapter in verse 34 and 35, you see that He promises that the land that was once desolate, He will rebuild the houses, He'll give them abundant blessings. And yet, in forgiveness and in blessings, He says the exact same thing. I do it for my name's sake. I don't do it for you. It's not about you and it's not about me, but we honestly live every single day thinking it's all about us. And it reflects it. As I said earlier, we live as if Christianity is just a part of our life, when in reality, God saved us so that it is our life. Because God saved us, He created us for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to glorify His name. And the way that we work, and the way that we live, and the way that we behave ourselves amongst our family, amongst our friends, in every aspect of our life, God created us just as He created the stars and the moon and the earth and the rivers and the mountains and everything else does what He created it to do. Yet we live for ourselves. We take the goodness of God and the forgiveness of God and we say, He did this for my name's sake. And therefore, we live how we want. Have you ever seen a child who their parents literally do anything that they want, and they make life all about them, right? Normally, not always, but when I lived in China, it's a single child family over there. It's changing a little bit right now, but for the most part, it's a single child family home. And without fail, those children are the center of that family's world because it's the only child they have. And if they mess up, that child's not going to love them anymore. He's not going to like them anymore. So everything that they do revolves around that child. They make that child, they make their family, their existence, their life all about that kid, about whatever he wants. And without fail, none of those kids say, life's all about my parents. Not one of them. They live and they behave in such a way that they honestly believe life is all about them. And the world revolves around them. And when something doesn't go their way, they let everybody know it. And we have created a form, I'm talking about just the country that we live in, we've created a Christianity where it's all about us. With the way that we teach that, oh, God wants to bless you, He wants to give you so many things, and guess what? He does. But the reason that He wants to forgive us, the reason that He wants to save us, the reason that He wants to bless us, is so that we then point others to Him. So that we then point everyone back to His holy name and say, look at what I have, look at the forgiveness I have, look at the salvation I have. And it's nothing about me. It's about the one who gave it to me. It's about Him. It's about His goodness. It's about His mercy. You know, the Word of God says that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. We often teach the blessings of heaven or the fear of hell is what leads men to repentance. But the Word of God says it's Him. It's His goodness. It's who He is. That if people truly see Him and know who He is, it'll lead them to repentance. Because in this very passage, God says that He will bless them. He will give them a new heart. He will give them blessings. No more famine, no more corn. And when He says all of those things, look in verse 31. He says, then, after He's told them all the things He will bless them with, He says, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight. See, we have a society of Christians, not a society of lost people. We honestly do have a society of Christians that love our sin instead of loathing our sin. And the reason we love our sin is because we're looking at ourselves. But see, if we looked at God and we truly saw God, we'd loathe our sins. In chapter 1 of Ezekiel, at the end of the chapter, he begins to talk about this vision and this image that he sees. And as he continues on to the end of the chapter, he finally understands, it reveals to us almost like a story unfolding, who and what this image is that he sees. And when he finally reveals it, it is the person of Jesus Christ. And when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, it causes him to fall upon his face, just as it did Isaiah, just as it did Paul, just as it did John, and just as it did any man and woman throughout history who has truly caught a glimpse of Jesus Christ. Because when they catch a glimpse of Christ, it transforms their life. Because it causes them to see themselves for who they are and see their sin for what it is and the vileness and the wickedness that it is. And it causes them to loathe themselves and love the Lord. And understand that life is not about them, it's about Him. And yes, He forgave me, but He did it for His name's sake. And yes, He's blessing me right now, but He's doing that for His name's sake. Because in both blessings and in forgiveness, He wants me to understand that my life is all about Him. It's why He created me. The very purpose that He created me was so that I could glorify Him. And yet we have a creation of beings that are just doing the exact opposite. And I'm not talking about the lost, because they are. They've always done that. I'm talking about people who claim to be the name of Jesus Christ, yet they profane His holy name. Not necessarily because they're involved in such vile and wicked sins, and although that is true, it seems like time after time after time, I'm seeing more and more people, Christians, people who are in the ministry. I know Pastor can attest to it. Even recently, Chelsea and I have known some people very close to us who once were so faithful to the Lord, once people who loved the Lord, and now they're involved in sins that breaks my heart. But more than anything, it profanes the name of God, because all of the people who know them knew that they were and are Christians. And yet the sin that they're now involved in, the life that they're now in, and they're giving no thought to it, it's robbing God and it's profaning His holy name. And we do it on a day-by-day basis. And the way we talk and the way we act. Even though the fact that we may not be involved in some gross sin, we are involved in a sin of selfishness and a sin of self-centeredness and a sin of slothfulness. And we could go on and on and on, sins that we maybe don't highlight as much, sins that we maybe kind of brush to the side. But any sin robs God of His glory. You see, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. He's not jealous in a sinful way that we think, but He's jealous in the sense that He wants complete control over your life, and He cannot and He will not share your heart with sin. He can't do it. C.T. Studd famously said that every person within their heart has two things. They have a throne and they have a cross. And if you were on the throne, then Jesus Christ is still on the cross. But if you have been placed on the cross, then Jesus Christ is on the throne. And He's ruling. And until we come to the place where we allow Him to rule and understand that everything in our life is for Him, we are just His servants. He's not just our Savior, which is what we often view Him only as. Why do you think throughout the Bible we have so many different names of God? See, I very often only view Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if I only view Him as my Savior, then I live as if He's my Savior. But He's also my Master. He's also my King. He's also my Lord. He's also the balm that heals me when I'm sick, and He's the friend. He's everything that I ever need, but He's so much more than just my Savior. But when I understand that He's more than that, then it causes me to live in a different way. And when I live for His name's sake, it brings us to the end of the chapter. And it brings us to what God desires for His people back then, and is what He desires for us right now. In verse 36, after He's told His people that He will forgive them for His name's sake, and that He will bless them for His name's sake, He says in verse 36, "Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places, and plant that that was desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem, in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." God is not a God who does not care for a lost and dying world. He does. He created them. And He wants all of His creation to declare His glory. That is one of the reasons why I struggle with the idea that God only chose and selected certain to go to heaven. But yet He desires for others to live a life of eternity in hell, and that gives Him glory. Because the Bible teaches that if we are living in sin, we're not giving God glory, we're profaning His name, we're robbing Him of glory. And God desires for all of the earth to know that there is a God in Israel, and that there is a God in heaven, and that there is a God in my life and in your life. And He said to His people here, He said, "I'll forgive you. I will have pity on you. I'll take all the vileness and wickedness that you've done, and I'll forgive it. I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast it into the depths of the sea. I'll remember it no more. I will forgive you. But I want you to understand, I'll do it for my name's sake, so that you will then in turn live for my name's sake, so that the people that you are dwelling amongst will know who I am. They will know that I am the Lord Jehovah. I am the God, the one true and only God, the Savior of all the ends of the earth." And then He says, "I'll also bless you. I'll give you abundant blessings. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you things that when the world sees it, they cannot comprehend it. They see the peace that passeth all understanding. They see the joy in the midst of trials. They see the blessings when all around it seems like everything's going wrong. And they ask, why? Well, it's because of the Lord. It's because of who He is and what He's done in my life." And I want to encourage us this evening to examine our own hearts and lives. Honestly, stop for a moment right now and ask yourself, are you genuinely, truly living for His name's sake? Is the way that you live, is the way that you act, the way that you are a wife and a husband and a mother and a father, the way that you're an employee. I mean, we're in the world. We live in the world. So God clearly wants us to be living life. And yet while we're living life, not necessarily as a pastor or as a missionary, but whatever we're doing, to proclaim His holy name, to give glory to where glory is due, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ so that He may draw all men unto Himself. And when we understand and when we live in the mindset and in the knowledge that our life is all about Him, then those who live around us see that it's all about Him. Because they see us. They watch us. Watch a little kid. How quickly they say things and they act a certain way. And without doubt, it's from their parents. It's from the way that their parents act. It's from the things that their parents have said. My little nephew, Parker, my wife and I have had to watch ourselves because we've already taught him some bad habits. And his mother and father have had to let us know it. Not necessarily sinful things, but bad habits that a little child should not be doing to his parents when his parents tell him something, that he shouldn't be spitting his tongue and going to them. And unfortunately, that falls back on myself and my wife, trying to be silly. But he saw something and it reflected and it affected him. And honestly, the world and their view of God, they don't know Him, so it has to come from somewhere. And it comes from His people. Because the Bible says that we are to magnify the name of Christ. We are to proclaim the name of Christ. And the way that we live will show the people who our God is. Unfortunately, it's not always truly who our God is. But it's who we have created Him to be. Chelsea and I just saw a movie trailer, and it really just shows the day and age that we live in. And I think the title of the movie was called Boy Erased. It's a new movie that's coming out. And it's about a pastor and his wife who found out that their son is struggling with a sin of homosexuality. And the movie is all about, for at least from the trailer portraying, about sending their son away to a Christian camp that will break him of this disease and this sin that he's in. And he wasn't born this way, and that it's just a demon that he's battling with, and he needs to destroy it because God hates him and God despises him, and that his parents can never love him. And while that sin is true and God despises that sin, it's twisted from the way that God portrays the truth of his love towards sinners. You know, Jesus Christ loves the liar and he loves the sodomite. Yet he hates the sin and he hates the sinful life that they live. Yet he died for all and he's willing to forgive all. But the view that this movie is portraying of Christians and therefore of their God is so different than what the Bible truly teaches us of who our God is. And where did they get that from? These people don't know the Lord, but they got it from people who claim to be followers of Christ and who live in such a way that it profanes his holy name. And we have it on our responsibility to live a life that points people to Christ. Not to ourselves, not to our name, but to his holy name. Because he deserves it. Because of what he's done and because of who he is. We could go to an eternity in hell and God would still deserve our glory because of who he is. The Moravian missionaries, a very fascinating group to read about. I encourage you to read about them if you haven't. And if you know the story and if you know their mission cry, back when the movement was first starting to get started under Count von Zinzendorf, there was two young men who had a burden for an island. It was a slave island that was owned by an Englishman who had said that no missionaries were allowed to come onto this island. He closed it off, and he said, "I will not allow any missionaries to come to this island." And these two men got a burden, and not for these poor, wretched sinners, which is what often we do. No, they got a burden for God, and how God deserved to get glory from those slaves. And the only way that he could get glory is if those slaves were forgiven of their sins. And so they sold themselves to this island. They contacted the owner of the island, and they said, "We are willing to sell ourselves as slaves. Will you buy us?" And the slave owner purchased them for the normal price that he would purchase any slave. And they used the money that he gave them to pay for the seafare to sell across from Europe to the Caribbean. And as their friends and family and fellow Christians came to say goodbye, they began to wave at them. And as tears were streaming down their family's face and their friends' face, and as they realized that they would never see these two young men again, the men locked arms and one of them cried out to the group that was watching. And he didn't cry out what I probably would have, that "I love you and I'll never forget you and please pray for me and don't forget us." He cried out something so profound and so powerful, and yet it's something that the way that we should live. He said, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." You see, a reward is something you get that you deserve for what you've done. And Jesus Christ deserves the glory that is due to his name because what he did for you and I on Calvary. He deserves it. And these two young men understood that the very purpose they were going to this island was not for the poor, wretched sinners that lived there, and they were, but they were vile, because all of us in our sin are enemies of God, and we are vile, and we are wicked, and we despise God, and we despise his word. But you see, they understood that if they could go to this island, and they could take the gospel of Jesus Christ, that perhaps these slaves, and even this island owner, could receive the truth and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and therefore glorify his holy name, because he deserves it. Because he deserves the reward of their lives and their service because of what he did for them and what he's done for you and what he's done for me. But you see, we live day by day just as his chosen people, the Israelites, lived, profaning his holy name. And the reason we do it is because we think life is all about us. We think the blessings that God gave us, the forgiveness that he gave us, it was for us. And therefore, we're going to kind of just live however we want. We believe that the world revolves around us and Christianity revolves around us. We think when we get to heaven, we're going to be basking in all the riches and rewards that we're going to get, and we're going to be admiring the streets of glory, and we're going to be living in our mansions, and I'm thankful that we're going to have all that. We heard it this morning, and we will have all of it. And it is an amazing blessing. But read through the book of Revelation. The majority of that book is given not to the streets of gold and to the mansions that we'll have, but it's given to the Son and the Lamb of God that reigns upon the throne, who all of creation and all of heaven will either bow down in submission before they are cast in eternity in hell, or they will bow down in submission in service and in worship as they spend an eternity in heaven, glorifying His holy name because He deserves it, because He's worthy of it, because of who He is and because of what He's done. And I want to ask us to examine our own lives this morning, and this evening, I'm sorry, and ask ourselves, whose name's sake are we living for? Are we living for our own name's sake, or are we living for His? Because our life will do one of two things. It will. It will rob God of His glory, or it will give God the glory that He deserves. It will profane His holy name, or it will proclaim His holy name. And He is worthy to receive the reward of His suffering. And that reward is simply our life. It's not a sacrifice, because a sacrifice is us giving up something that is our own. The Christian life is not a sacrifice. Giving your life to Christ is not a sacrifice. David Livingstone famously said, as people asked him, "You sacrificed so much." And if you know the story, David Livingstone, he honestly did. He suffered. And from a human perspective, he suffered a lot. He lived in a place in an age where really no other man had been at that time. He pioneered. He suffered trials and tribulations from the natives. There was constant war and conflict that he was involved in. He lost sight in his eye from a poisonous thorn that scratched it. He lost use in one of his arms from a lion attack. And his wife, who he loved so dearly and who he wrote about year after year as she continued to live in England, when she finally arrived and stepped foot on the continent of Africa, the day that she arrived, she got sick and died shortly after. And he had suffered so much and he had sacrificed so much. And the people said, "You've sacrificed so much." And he said back to them, he said, "You and I would never consider to serve the King of England as a sacrifice. We'd consider it a great honor. If the King asked us to do something, we would consider it a great honor and we would be more than willing to do it. Yet when the King of Kings asks us to do something, we consider it a sacrifice." The Christian life is no sacrifice. It is a life of surrender. That's really all it is. And when we surrender it all to Christ, then He takes us and He gets the glory that He so rightly deserves. And I want to plead with you this evening and with myself that we will not go another day profaning His holy name, but that we will live and breathe for one purpose, so that all the earth may know who Jesus Christ is. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this evening, God. I ask if there's anyone here this evening, God, that is not right with You, God, that is involved in sin, that is living a life that profanes Your holy name, God, I pray that they would understand and realize that the very breath that they are now taking right now is a gift from You, so that they would live a life for You. Not a life of themselves, not a life for themselves. God, help me never to forget it. God, so often I find myself living for myself, thinking that everything that You've done for me is for me. God, but really everything You've done for me is so that I will live in a way that then points the glory back to You. God, I pray for this church, God, that they would be a lighthouse. God, a light that shows the dark and blinded world, not of themselves, not of the blessings that they have, God, not even necessarily the wonderful promise of heaven that they're going to receive, no, but instead that the light would reveal to them the person of Jesus Christ. And when we see Him, then we see the wonderful forgiveness we have, and then we see the wonderful blessings we have, and then we live so that others around us may know who He is and what He's willing to do for them. I ask that You would bless this invitation now, please. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.